The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, Brother Palmore. You know, I'm so glad that we have a church where the music is sound, the music is scriptural, and I appreciate all of the focus on that. I've visited some churches online where it almost reminds me of the days of the 70s where I would attend a rock concert before I received the Lord. And I am so glad that we have a church that bases the music on a scriptural direction that's able to help us and, helps us to get ready for preaching, helps us to prepare our hearts for going the right direction. I like a song that makes you think. You know, the song that you just heard a moment ago makes you think, makes you think about what it's like to be able to put the Lord first in troubled times, and what a wonderful song that was, and I appreciate that. Luke chapter 14 and verse 30, the Bible says, saying, by the way, if you will find this in your Bible and kind of follow me along, I'm only going to use about three, maybe four verses at the most in this particular chapter, because it's going to describe, of course, reasons, I believe, why people do not finish their course. So many times we hear about people that start something, they don't finish. They have good intentions. They intend to do something. Matter of fact, they might even boastfully tell others about what they're trying or wanting or desirous to do. And then they fall way short and they don't finish. Now, why is that? You know, I mentioned about the New Year's resolution. I also mentioned about we ought to serve Christ on a daily basis. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Paul said, I die daily. The Bible talks about how we're supposed to meditate day and night in the Word of God. And so we understand that living the Christian life is a daily affair. It's not all of a sudden we decide one day to show up for church and bless God. It's the fact that we decide that we're going to live by godly, biblical principles every day of our life. We decide that we're going to step out and we're going to obey the Lord in every facet in our life. It's not that we turn on Christianity one day and we turn it off the next. It's not that one day we decide, well, today I'll be a Christian and tomorrow I won't be a Christian. No, that's not something that's even in the works when it comes to understanding Bible truth. And so I think we need to understand this morning about why is it that Christians fail to finish their course. And so I want to speak to you about five reasons Christians fail to finish their course. Why is that? Why is it that some people really, honestly, are very desirous in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but then all of a sudden, you look around and they're not serving anymore? Why is it that some people really start off well, but they don't finish the course? Why is that? You know, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So the Apostle Paul, as he gave a testimony, said that I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. And if I had a prayer for you in 2015, it would be that right there in your life. It would be that you would be able to acclaim in your own life that yes, you have fought a good fight. Yes, you have finished your course and that you have kept the faith. As we look at this morning, we do understand that that's exactly what God wants for us in our individual lives. In the book of Luke chapter 14, verses 28, 29, and 30, you begin to understand what it is to be able to start and what it takes to be able to finish. Let me give you just a couple of statements here. Statement number one, why is it that people do not finish the course that they step out to start? Statement number one, because there is no purpose. There is no purpose. Now understand this, Luke chapter 14, verse 28, the Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower? So here was a man that had good intentions. He had a purpose. He decided that here is my purpose. I'm going to step out, and I'm intending to do something. In other words, he had a goal that was set before him. He had a purpose. He had a drive. He had a vision. He had, if you would please, that which was a desire to accomplish something. What was the desire to accomplish? He said, I'm going to step out. My intent is to step out and to build this tower. Now, can I tell you, we all ought to attend to be faithful to the house of God, attend to be faithful to the things of God. And with that, we ought to give our attention. Yea, that ought to be something that we intend to do. It ought to be something that we put in our lives in 2015. There ought to be a purpose, maybe purpose in your life to be faithful to the house of God, purpose in your life to be one that reads the Bible, purpose in your life to be one that stands for God, not just in your family circle, but in your family of community in which you live, in that area in which you live. Maybe you ought to decide that there are some things I'm going to purpose to do. He says, for which of you intend to build. You know, we ought to start off a new year intending to do something. Could you be a better man? Could you be a better woman? Could you be a better college student? Could you be a better teenager? Could you be a better child? Could you be a better husband? Could you be a better wife? Could you be a better person, if you would please, in the workplace? Could you be something better? Now, by the way, if you have no goals, you are most certainly going to reach them. And I think it's good to be able to have some financial goals. I think it's good to be able to have some social goals. I think it's good to be able to have some educational goals. I think those things are good. But can I beg of you this morning, somebody that knows the living Word of God, also to have some spiritual goals in your life? It's a good time to start something fresh. It's a good time to start something new. But I'm not talking about saying that you're going to start something with no intentions to be able to fulfill it. No, start it with the intent of being able to get it done. And start with the intent of being able to say, I am going to purpose this with every fiber of energy, with every segment of intellect, with every ounce of spirituality that I can muster up. Physically, emotionally, with everything that I've got, I'm going to put my hand to the plow, and I'm not going to look back, and let that be a part of your physical world, your emotional world, your social world, your educational world, but also, listen to me, make it a part of your spiritual world. Make it a part of growing in Christ. Make it a part of something that you reach out. So many times, here's what we do, and we live in such a secular society, we have all these goals. We have the goals of building ourselves educationally, and I'm for that. I read many books through the year. I was up last night, and I was finishing up my Bible reading as I was getting ready to head to bed, and I've been reading this other book right now, and so I put in about an hour, I guess, or close to an hour, and just reading through this other book. And why? Why am I doing that? I'm reading the Word of God so that I can become the person I ought to be as a believer in Christ, to be able to obey God and to be able to keep Him first. I'm reading this other book because it's challenging me also in my personal life, and it's challenging me also in the way that I'm supposed to live for Christ. And can I tell you, I want those type of challenges in my life. And I believe that you and I ought also to want those challenges in our life, and we ought to get some purposes in our life to be able to step out and do something of significance for Jesus Christ. Statement number one, there has to be a purpose. The reason that a lot of Christians, if you will, do not finish the course is because there is no purpose. Statement number two, there is no plan. There is no plan. Some people have great intentions, but there is no plan to follow up. Let's continue that verse. Luke chapter 14 and verse 24, the Bible says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? When we came out of the field of evangelism a little over 5 years ago now, and when we were heading here to Texas to become now very much involved in be the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, we had some goals. And one of those goals was to build a home. And so we decided to look at different plans, and we went through those plans, and my wife and children and I sat down and we looked at multiple plans within our budget. And as we looked at those multiple plans within the budget, we decided the plans that we wanted to be able to build a house in Forney. And we went through all of those plans, and we decided this is the one. And so we looked at the architectural design of different houses and what we wanted, and we got a plan. I mean, we were able to decide how many rooms and how many bathrooms and where the living room would be and where the bathrooms would be located and whether it was just a single story or a two-story. We decided many, many things, and we sat down, and can I tell you, that was fun. And so many times we look at planning things and we say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to plan something because after all, it's boring. It's only boring if it becomes boring to you. It's really neat to be able to sit down and to be able to plan out things. I love meeting with our staff. We have a staff meeting every Tuesday with the pastoral staff, and we go into a planning meeting. Basically, that's what it is. And so every Tuesday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, sometimes even 5 o'clock, and we try and cut it after that. But we'll go into a 2 or 3 hour planning meeting. I love to be able to meet with the men individually during the week. Every single one of the pastoral staff has an hour meeting with me where they come in and they present their ministry to me. And they present their ideas for their ministry. And we'll be able to talk about things. And we'll be able to work through things. And we'll be able to come up with innovative ideas to be able to structurally make that ministry all that it should be in serving Christ. And boy, I enjoy the fact that they're able to bring things on the table. And we plan out a lot of things. Now, why do we do that? For the Lord first. But then also for you. That's one thing I love about our church. Our church is not sitting still. And can I tell you, our church will never sit still. We will always be reaching people. We were always, I was over Jonathan and Pat's parents' house yesterday, and Brother Fenton went with me, and we sat there, and we talked about Scripture and around the table, and they were able to ask some questions, and we're able to discuss the things that the Bible teaches, and man, I love being able to spend time with people and being able to guide them and be able to teach them and be able to train them in the Bible truths. And can I tell you, listen, there has to be a purpose, and there has to be a plan, and you cannot have a better plan than what God Himself has laid out in the Word of God. In the Word of God, you find God's way. In the Word of God, you find God's timing. In the Word of God, you find God's plans for your life. God does not expect you to govern your own life. God expects you to allow Him to govern your life through the principles and through the Word of God, whereby you can be able to please Him. See, the Bible teaches that many people will fail. I do believe, as we see this, for which of you intending to build, it says, a tower, many people will fail simply because they have no purpose. They have no intent. They have no drive. They have, if you would please, no vision. They have no desire. I can't wait. Tonight is what we call vision night. I can't wait. I do hope. If I could beg you, I would beg you. But I do hope that you will graciously come to church tonight. Because at 6 o'clock tonight, you're going to get to see what God has done in our church in 2014. And can I tell you, it is nothing short of amazing. To see all that God has done through His people here at Parkside Baptist Church, and all the souls that's been saved, and all the lives that's been changed, and all the different people that's coming to church, and all the renovations that's been done, you're going to sit there and your bottom jaw is going to drop simply because God has done some marvelous things here. Now, can I tell you that those things that God has done, God purposely did. Those things that God has done was purposely planned. Those things that God has done was purposely planned for. Statement number one, why is it that Christians fail? Why do people fail to be able to complete their course? No purpose. no plan. Statement number three, no preparation. Watch your Bible. Luke chapter 14 and verse 29, the Bible says, less happily. It says, after he had laid the foundation, there is preparation. One of the things we were building in that house was a new house, of course, years ago. Now it's not new. But when we were building it, we were greatly disappointed. We chose the plans, and I was doing some soul winning leadership conference in Southeast Asia, so I was going to be in the Philippines for a long time. It was the last long tour that I was going to take over there and preaching, and so I was going to be there for a long time. And here in Texas, you know, we don't have snow, but we have rain. And we hit the rainy season a little bit. And I came back and I thought for sure the foundation would be laid. And I thought, you know, they would be on the way to at least starting a finished product, and they had not even begun. And so we stayed at a member's house that was very gracious and kind to us for a while. Every week, I went out to look at the house. We watched the foundation being laid. We watched them to be able to put up all the studs. I cannot begin to tell you how many different places we signed our names. That house has our name on it. We signed the different studs. We signed the floor. When we were renovating the auditorium right here in front, you will see a lot of signatures underneath this carpet. Please don't pull the carpet up to look. But you'll see a lot of signatures. And people would sign the names of people that used to be members here, but they'd gone home to be with the Lord. You know, but they had a great part in Parkside Baptist Church being what it is today. And if you were to pull this carpet up, you would see names of people. People that has long since gone home to be with the Lord, but yet their names are there. You will see different places. I know the Polywathicals and Miss Catherine and other people that sit in certain areas there, and different people that sit in certain areas. You know, when we just had that which was the cement, and there was no carpet, there was no pews, there was, you know, you saw people's signatures all over this place. You say, oh man, I wish I was here at that time. Hey, I got good news for you. We're not done yet. There'll be more buildings we build. There will be more places to sign your name. Can I tell you, listen to me, here's what we do understand. There's got to be a purpose. That's why I say, hey, Parkside Baptist Church is alive and well, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have some plans, and we've got some preparation that is laid out and to be able to go forward and make sure that the greater Dallas Metroplex and the world that needs the gospel of Christ is able to receive the gospel of Christ. Why? Because we're going forward with a purpose and with a plan and with some preparation. Oh, but not only that, why is it that Christians fail to complete their course? No purpose, no plan, no preparation, no push. Nope. Now, just to make it easy, I'm sure you caught on already by now. All my main points are going to begin with a P. Brother Palmore says, ooh. But now, why is there that push? Here's what it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. The Bible says, which of you, it says, intending to build a tower. There's that push. There's that work of focusing the mind. There's that work, if you would please, of working with all of your might. The book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says, so built we the wall, that all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. So the people had a desire, they had a mind to work. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing this all over America right now, and I think it's really neat. That the fundamental independent Baptist churches are growing by leaps and bounds. Now, why are they growing? Can I tell you why they're growing? Because we realize the pillar and the ground of truth is Jesus Christ. We realize that churches are not built upon a man. They're not built upon a personality, but they're built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a man lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand this, that the Bible says that as you lift up the Lord, he'll draw all men onto himself. What a great privilege to be a part of a church that has Christ as the ground and the pillar of truth through the Word of God. What a great blessing it is to be a part of God's plan through his Son who shed his blood for the church. Isn't it a neat thing to be able to understand that we can be right smack dab in the will of God? Do we understand that people gave their lives many years ago as martyrs because of that which is the truth of the living Word of God? Do we understand that persecution among Christians is still throughout the world today? As even I have friends that is in Vietnam and parts of Cambodia that is serving time in prison simply because they opened up that which is the Word of God. And yet here we have the privilege to be able to take the Bible and to be able to open up the scriptures, and we can sit here in the air condition, and we can sit here in the padded pews, and we can sit here in the luxurious comfort of a new auditorium. But yet we understand this. We understand that God's purpose doesn't change and his plan doesn't change, and the preparation that it takes is still vital and is still very important, and there still has to be that push. Because if you don't push, eventually it rolls over and it dies. So you're always going to have a pastor in Mike Wells that will always push. They'll always say, hey, we can do more. Hey, we can accomplish more. We can reach more people with the gospel. I was out soul winning and visiting last night till about 6:30. And I always finish up in Forney because that's where I live. And so I save all the Forney visits to the very last. And I already had most of the work done for today as far as the sermons, and so I was able to stay out longer, and I was able to go visiting in houses and be able to sit down around tables and be able to talk to couples and young people and some single adults and be able to open the Bible and be able to answer their Bible questions and show them their need of receiving Christ. What a great joy that is. What a great joy it is to be able to open the Bible and teach somebody the Word of God and help them to understand their need of Christ. What a great joy it is to stop somebody on the street and witness to them. What a great joy it is to be able to knock on a door and be able to walk inside. That's what I live for. I live to be able to give out the gospel. I live to be able to study the Bible in such a way and to be able to give the Bible in such a way that you as an individual believer can be able to grow and to latch onto something and be able to say, that's it. Boy, that's how I can live for God. Boy, that's how I can overcome this problem. Boy, that's how God can help me in my life. And that's how come I'm saying, you know, the answers to most of your marriage problems are found from that which is the preaching of God's word from the pulpit. You know, most of the counseling, you don't need to pay a counselor $100 an hour. Just come to church. You don't need to go over and pay somebody $200 an hour. Come to church. You cannot beat God's word. God created you. God formed your mind. God gave you the abilities that God has given you. And God has the answer to every single problem that's in your life. He is God. Now, because of that, we understand this. We understand there needs to be that push. Just like you, I'm the same. You don't have to push myself to read the Bible. I did not wake up this morning with a spiritual halo on my head. Now, Brother Wislowski did, but I did not. But I did not wake up with a spiritual halo in my head. You know, I had to get up this morning and purposely, as a man, open my Bible, allow God to speak to my heart, and say, dear God, show me how I can improve in my life. You know, sometimes we think that preachers are afraid above. Preachers are not afraid above. We are a human with flesh just like you are. We have temptations just like you do. We have trials. We have our hearts broken. We have things that we have. There's not a man in here that's better than any other man that's in this room. And as we understand that, as we walk together into the new year, And as you decide that you're visiting and you're praying about joining the church, or you're here and you're praying about being obedient to the Lord, can I tell you, it's a great place to be able to come to learn God's word so that you can go forward in serving Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So we're supposed to give it everything we've got. What is that? That's working with all of your might. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, I've read this three times from this pulpit. I read it last Sunday morning, I read it last Sunday night, and I read it during our watch night service last Wednesday night, where the Bible says, brethren, in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, the things that happen, maybe tragic in your life, maybe that are weights in your life. Sometimes you have to decide, okay, I'm going to give that to God, I'm going to walk away from it, and I'm not going to let it weight me down. When I was in high school, before salvation, before I received the Lord, I was heavily involved in sports. One of the things that I was heavily involved in was called track and field. I was a sprinter on a track and field team, on a track team. And I remember Mike Wright, which was our track coach. I remember many, many times Mike would have us to wear a vest, Brother Wislowski, a 20-pound vest. That doesn't sound like much, right? 20 pounds? And then he'd put these weights on our ankles, 5 pounds each. Well, that doesn't sound like much, 5 pounds. And then he would take and put 5 pounds on each wrist. Well, that doesn't sound like much, right? I mean, going 5 pounds? But if you got 20 pounds and then you got 10 pounds and then you got another 10 pounds, that's 40 extra pounds. You know, over the years, I have put on more than 40 extra pounds. Can I tell you, when I play basketball, I can't do it like I used to. I get out of breath. Sometimes when I'm out knocking doors all day, I get out of breath. You say, well, what's the best way to do that? Well, get rid of the 40 extra pounds. That's easier said than done. But I know when we would take those pounds off, we'd take those 20-pound vests and we put them off, we'd take the 5 pound, 5 pound, 5 pound, and we would put them aside. You know, all of a sudden now, the legs lifted higher. Matter of fact, if you wasn't careful, you would come up and it would hit your chin. I mean, it would just, you know, just... Because it just seemed like it almost seemed like that you were weightless, you know, and you were able to respond quicker and jump higher and run faster. You know why? Because the excess weight was off. And see, the Bible says that we're supposed to set aside every sin and set aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So we're supposed to take that weight off and we're supposed to put it aside. That's what we're supposed to do in 2015. There's some things that's not necessarily sin in your life, but it's a weight. And that's how come you have trouble coming back to church on Sunday night. You got weight. You're having a hard time being able to make it places because of the weight. And the Bible talks about right here how we're supposed to push ourselves. And in order to do that, I've got to get rid of that excess weight, if you will, please, forgetting those things which are behind. And he says, reaching forth to those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark. What's he talking about? He's talking about the mark of God's will in your life. But also, please understand that he's talking to a local church, the church at Philippi. And he's saying there needs to be some purposes, some plans, some preparation. There needs to be, if you would please, some push in your life when it comes to your local church. And so you ought to decide that, hey, 2015, I can do better. And let me give you this. Statement number one, I said this: no purpose, no plan, no preparation, no push. Last statement, there's no persistence. Persistence. Luke chapter 14, verse 29, we'll close it with this. 29 and 30. The Bible says, less happily, after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began, watch it, to mock him. You know, one thing I don't want to do ever is to live a life in such a despicable way that my children mock and say, yeah, he says this. Ray, this is hurtful. He says this, but he lives this. I don't want to, and you should not want to, live a life in such a way that your wife or your husband would mock. The Bible says they began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's almost like a little pity. Pity, was not able to finish. You know, we have character for everything else in life. Let's decide in 2015 that we can have some character for Christ. Decide not to faint. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversary, the Bible says thy strength is small. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last verse I'll read you, verse 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. There's just something encouraging about that. Knowing that when you do your very best, your labor is not in vain. My daughter came up beside me last night. She's working in another department along with many other college-age young people this morning as we have multiple services here on property. She came up beside me last night. She looked at me and she said this. She said, Daddy, thank you for being Daddy. And she leaned over, and I don't know what she was thinking in her mind, but she leaned over and with tears in her eyes, she gave me a kiss on the cheek. And she said, good night. I cannot tell you that's worth that. That's worth that. There has to be a foundation that is laid. Make sure that we're laying the right foundation in our individual lives. And let that foundation that's laid in your life be the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the pillars and the ground is truth. Let's make sure that in 2000, and by the way, you can do it if you want to. You know what I found out? People do, you ready for this? This is profound. You ready? People do what they want to do. People don't come to church, they don't come to church because they don't want to. People that come to church and they're faithful to everything, you know why they do that? Let me tell you why they do that, because they want to. They want to. Give you a closing testimony and I'm done. I read my closing verse, closing testimony, I'm done. My son Josh, I want to testify about one of my boys. My son Josh sits behind that camera right up there with his wife, great with child, sitting beside him. We moved here to Texas. All we ever knew was serving God together. That was it. That was it. My children have always come to me for counsel. I remember when Jonathan got the fever one time on the road of evangelism. I remember this distinctively, and he came to me and he said, Dad, he said, how about if you leave me behind and I'll get a job at McDonald's? And I said, how about I don't do that? And we talked, and he stayed on the trail. And that's why partially he is who he is today. Now, wait a minute, watch this. So my son Josh, you know, he came, and of course, being part of the family, and he wanted to be faithful to church so bad he could taste it. He remembers my testimony. When I was at Bible college, I had a job at UPS. And I worked at UPS, and they worked me on Wednesday night, and I couldn't stand it. I thought, here I am, a new believer. I've come all the way from my homeland, 26 hours away. I moved to this foreign place. The people talk different than I talk. And all this stuff. And And I've come here to get training and to learn the Bible, and now I'm working on Wednesday night. There's just something not right about that thing. So I went to the Lord and said, Lord, please give me some ideas. And I had a bus driver. I never will forget. His name was Joe Schrock. He was German. Joe Schrock. And I went to Joe and I said, Joe, I got an idea. I think it's an admirable idea. You've got money and I've got an idea. Let's use your money and my idea and let's start a business. He said, wait a minute. He said, what if the business fails? I said, then it's a bad idea and you lose your money. But I don't think it'll fail. I'm willing to risk it. He said, but your risk is like this. Mine's like this. So I never will forget, we started the Tip Top Window Washing Company, a window washing business. And it became a great success. We were able to hire college students, and those college students worked for us, and we paid them good money and bonuses and everything else. And boy, God just put his hand on that thing, and it was a great success. And then when I left, Joe took it, and I went off to Brooklyn, New York with my precious wife to serve the Lord in New York City. And boy, God just blessed in a wonderful way. But the reason I started that was because I had such a desire to be in church. I said, God, you've got to make a way. I want to be in church. I don't understand, God. You're the God of heaven. You can supply a way. I know you can do it. And I prayed, and God provided. Well, Josh picked up on that. And as he heard stories about this over the years, he went out and he got a job. And he said, now look, he said, I don't want to work on Sundays. I don't want to work on Wednesdays because I want to be in church. And they said, okay, a deal. But soon after he got there, they started trying to get him to work on Wednesday night. They changed their word. And so he said, no. He said, you promised. And you are going to keep your word. And if you don't, you just lost an employee. And he took his ground and he stood and he was able to come to church. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. But God saw that. And then God gave him another job where they even told him in advance, you know, we like it when you go to church. Makes you a better employee. And they gave him double the amount of money than he was making before. Hello? Then God blessed him with a third type of job, and this one's even better than all the other ones. I'm saying there is a God in heaven. I think in 2015, we ought to decide that God's word is true, and God is true, and as a beloved, a child of God, we can trust the Father, and God can answer prayer, and God can come through, and God can work in your life. But we have to decide. Let's put him first. Give him more of yourself in 2015 than you did in 2014. You can finish the course. You really can.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.